Thank you, Brother Johnson. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you will, please, and I hope you have your Bible with you as we go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, and one verse for our text verse today, and that is verse 8. And I want to address the subject of success as we think about the graduates graduating and think about life, the purpose, the price paid, all of those different things. I want us to think about what Bible success really is. Joshua chapter 1, one verse, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What is success? How would you define it if somebody said, jot down on a piece of paper what success is? Some of us would say, well, it's making good grades in school and graduating. Well, that is a degree of success, isn't it? Some who don't make the good grades and don't graduate probably feel that a little harder than other people. But thank God for those who do that, and they know they feel a little bit of success. I've worked hard. I've made the grade. I got my diploma. That's part of it. And then they go on maybe to graduate from university or college and get a degree. And there's a sense of success in that. We just got back from Roanoke, Virginia, by the way. We were there for our granddaughter's graduation. Brittany graduated as a dental hygienist, and we were very glad. I think we had a vested interest in some of that, some way. But I know she worked hard. We know the price she paid. A few hundred tried to get in, and they let about 18 in the program, and 14 out of the 18 graduate. I felt like she was very successful, and we went there and was part of that graduation at the Virginia Western College. And we were glad that she made that achievement. And that was some degree. A lot of times we think of success as being simply material things. We think that a lot of times. It's material things. I am successful because I have such and such. I am successful because I make so much money. He's making good money. What do we usually mean by that? Is he successful? Oh, he's making good money. Is he really successful? He's really, really making the money, we'll say. That is oftentimes thought of as success. They have a lot of material things. We were talking to some friends recently in Roanoke. We had a meal with them. We had helped them find a young boy that a mother was giving away when he was just a little bitty fellow, about 2 years of age, I think. And that young man has gone through college. He went to VMI. He instructed some even while he was a student. Went on to A&M, graduated, and is now an engineer. And his wife, he's married a Christian lady, and she has a very high-ranking job in a bank, with a bank. Very high ranking. The friends were telling us about their home, lakefront, 6 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms, nice theater, all of the toys, all of the things, and both of them make good money, tremendous jobs. Now, I'm glad that they're doing that, but is that success? I don't know if they'll remain what we call successful. It depends on, are they going to live for the Lord? Are they going to give their lives for the Lord? Are they going to use these blessings for the glory of God? It's all right to have things. Many of the people in the Bible were wealthy, but they used that wealth to bring glory and honor to God. Nothing wrong with wealth. It's not money that's evil. It's the love of it. It's when you put it before God. But would that be considered successful? Most of you say, well, yeah, that's so successful. Only if they do what God tells them to do. In the Old Testament, he said, obey my law. Do what I tell you to do, and then you'll have great success. Obey God, and you will have great success. Do what the Ten Commandments say. Then he tells us in Psalm, for instance, chapter 1, he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. These are the steps to being happy and successful. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. These are negatives. He says, don't do those things. If you want to be happy and successful, do these things. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's always thinking about God. What is God's will? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Put in simple terms, obey God and you'll be blessed. Obey God, put God first in your life, and you will prosper, and you will be a happy person that'll be productive for the glory of God. We also have many of the New Testament principles that God gives us. And it goes back again to obeying God. How do we obey God? We do it by being holy. Do you know God is a holy God, and God expects out of our lives holiness. And if we do not have holiness, we're not going to be blessed of God. We will not be successful without holiness. The difference sometimes in people of equal abilities, whether it's a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary, or a business person, would be your holiness. If we're going to be successful, we've got to be people of prayer. I would encourage you that have graduated to go out and learn, even in a deeper way, to have a great prayer life and depend on God. And you're going to, when you go to the university, you're going to need that many times. I promise you that. Or the college, you're going to need it. I believe that we ought to obey God about attending church. If you want to be happy, attend church. Why? God said to. That's part of it, that we would attend church. If we want to be happy, he says, meditate in this book. Take this book with you. Students, let this be the top shelf book, not the bottom shelf book. Put it on top of your biology book. Put it on top of your other books, whatever studies you may have. Let the Bible be the main book. Don't get so wrapped up in your studies, as many of us do in life when we shouldn't, so that we have no time for the Word of God. We need to have time for the Word of God. I think the Bible ought to be put on your nightstand by your bed, whoever you are. We have Newsweek. We have all kinds of magazines. We have newspapers. We have books we like to read. We need to put the book there and meditate on the book. That's the way we're going to have success. That's the way we're going to have purpose and joy in our lives. It's not internet and Facebook and newspapers and magazines and all of that. It's spending time, finding time to spend in the book of the ages, the blessed Word of God. We need to make God someone that we put first in our first fruits with our giving in our lives. You want to be successful, learn by faith to give to God's Word, to give to the ministry of the Lord. Someone sent me an email about a recent message. It was good. It was positive. And I sent an email back and I said something like this. It doesn't bother me to preach on giving. It never has, ever since I've experienced what it is. Because I know I'm doing my people a favor if I can get them to learn to put God first financially. We were visiting, Brother Johnson and I, a family that happens to be here today. We were visiting them yesterday. He works in the luxury car business in the office of the Audubon car dealership here in town. The Audubon car dealership, and I like saying this, is beating the luxury car dealership in Dallas. I just thought I'd throw that in there. The statistics show that. But some of the people came, as I understand it, from Germany to find out, some of the people, maybe like BMW people or whatever, came to find out why they are growing maybe 10 or 15, 20%, whatever it is, every year, and some of the other dealerships are not doing that well. And they wanted to know the secret, and the man brought them into his office, and he said basically, and I don't know the words verbatim, but basically this is what he said, I don't own this business, God owns it. And I put God first. And because I put God first, and as they said, they didn't stay around but about 5 minutes and took off. You see, that's part of success, is learning to put God first. Dr. Barber and I sat at the table recently in a national meeting with two men that are basically multimillionaires. But these men have learned, and I'm not saying if you give to God you'll be a multimillionaire. I'm saying these men know what it is to put God first. And they give hundreds of thousands of dollars, I think, every year to the work of God. And God blesses their businesses and blesses their lives. If you want to be successful, put God first with your first fruits. If we're going to be successful, we need to be witnesses. And we need to be serving God. I like Christians who serve God. I think if you say, I'm a Christian, that means Christ-like. How could you be a Christian and be Christ-like without serving? He was the greatest servant that ever walked on the face of the earth. And we need to be Christ-like. You need to also, and I'll just throw this in, you need to look for a mate that is a born-again believer. You college students that are graduating, and anybody even past that, if you're not married yet, let me tell you something. When you look out, if you want to be happy and successful, God says, do not be unequally yoked. You find a guy or a gal that you know loves Jesus Christ, that shares the same heartbeat that you share. That is so important. And I can tell you, one of these days, all of the things that we do are going to be tried by God. We know that from 1 Corinthians 3. I won't read those verses, but in verses 11 through 15, he says, God's going to put all of our works to the test. And some of it is going to be wood, hay, and stubble and be burned up. Some of it's going to be silver and gold, so on and so forth, precious stones. And God, that's not going to affect him. We're going to be honored and blessed, and God is going to reward those who obey him and put him first. And I believe that all of us should do that. I would say, secondly, you need to be wise. You know, the Bible tells us to be wise. Let me ask you a question today. Are you wise? Are you wise? You say, well, I've got a lot of book learning. Does that make you wise? You see, wisdom is more than that. Proverbs 3:13, happy, and we could say successful, is the man or the woman that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. God says two things you need to be happy is wisdom and understanding. Now, what is wisdom? Well, the best definition can be found in the Word of God. Job answered that question in Job 28:28. Job said this, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Fear God and depart from evil, and you'll be a wise person. I encourage you young people to be wise. Don't just go get an education, get wisdom with it. Wisdom is at the doorway of the gateway of the city. Wisdom is out there. God says that wisdom is first of all to fear God. Not like he's a mean despot that wants to crack you over the head, but reverential awe that you fear God. God is real to you, and you have a relationship with God, and you fear God. That'll be wise. And then you will do what God says. That'll give you understanding. So that's wisdom. Be wise. We all should be wise. Let me tell you where success really begins. In anybody's life, it begins with getting saved. If you're not saved today, I don't care what you accumulate, how many degrees you have, I don't care what you have as far as wealth, if you are not saved, friend, you are not successful. There's no way you can be successful until you're saved. The plan of salvation is trusting Jesus Christ, knowing that you're a sinner, realizing he's the only hope and only help for you to be saved, coming to him and saying, I'm a sinner and I believe you died for me. You paid my sin debt and I trust you and you alone as my Savior. I'm not depending on the church, baptism, my good works, or my mother, my daddy, or being an American citizen or whatever. I'm depending only on the finished work of Jesus and his shed blood. That's the beginning of success. Luke 16 tells us about two real people. One of them was rich. rich, the Bible says, but he died and went to hell. One was a poor beggar, but he was in Abraham's bosom, which is the Old Testament of heaven. There's one in heaven, there's one in hell. Now tell me, which one of those two was successful? One was rich, one was poor, but one was ready to go to meet God, and one was not. I tell you, the beggar was wealthy. The beggar was successful. The beggar knew what it was all about as he trusted Christ as his Savior in the Old Testament sense. Success is also surrender. We need to surrender to God. That is success. We know the verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2. The Bible says that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We all need to be surrendered to the will of God. God expects that out of us. Let me ask you today, are you surrendered to Him? If you're not surrendered to Him, you're not successful. Young people, as you go out, stay surrendered to God. And if God has called you to a ministry, stay surrendered to that ministry. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Be surrendered totally to Almighty God. You see, when we have success, the Bible tells us it will be obvious to all people everywhere. All of the people that will know our lives. 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting, thy success, may appear to all. If you want people to know you're successful, then do what God says. Get saved, live for Him, put Him first, and you will be successful. Doesn't matter if you're a rancher or a mechanic or a missionary or a preacher or whatever it may be, you will be successful if you do these things and put them first in your life. May I challenge you also at this time, and this is true for all of us, reach your full potential. Many of us limit ourselves because we limit God. Young person, don't limit your potential. Reach your full potential. God has a plan for your life. And let me give you a good question to ask God. God, some good questions. What do you want to do in my life? And this is a crossroads of your life. Ask that question again. God, what do you want to do in my life? And then ask Him, what possibilities and potential do I have for you? What possibilities, what potential do I have, God, for you? I want to use all of those things for you. And then, God, what do you want to do through my life for your glory? I want to ask you if you've asked God and asked the Lord what He has planned and purposed for you. If not, I would encourage you to do that. We ought to ask those questions, and not just for the young people, it's for everybody. Everyone should be asking these same questions. Lord, what do you want to do in my life? Lord, what possibilities and potential do I have? Lord, what do you want to do through my life? If you recently lost a spouse, you ought to ask those questions. If you recently lost your job, you should be asking those questions. If you're somebody who recently retired, why not ask those questions? If you're a person that is about to be married, how about asking those questions about your marriage? If you're a person that is soon to become a parent, ask those same questions to yourself. Lord, what's your plan? Lord, what is the potential? How can I best use my life to bring honor and glory to you and be successful? Let me give you very quickly 5 key principles to understanding your potential. 5, very quickly. First of all, every person has potential. Every person. Young person, don't sell yourself short. Everybody has potential. No matter what you've achieved before, no matter what age you are today, you still have potential. God gives you that ability to follow that plan of God for you, that every person has potential. And every person is created to bring God glory. Why are you here? Why am I here? What's the purpose of our lives? Primarily, it is to bring God glory. To serve God and bring God glory. To know His will and to do His will. Here's another thing that is a key principle. You cannot reach your potential without the Father's help. You'll never reach your potential without God's help. Lean on God. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter where you are right now in your life. You cannot reach your future potential without the Father's help. You cannot do it without spiritual intimacy. If I could get boys and girls and teenagers and young people to learn this lesson, that you get intimate with God, that you understand that He is as real as your mother, your daddy, your grandmother, your grandfather, your brother, your sister, your sweetheart, whoever it may be, if you can understand that God is that real to you and have an intimate walk and relationship with God, it will help anybody at any time. Spiritual intimacy. God is real. Talk to Him every day. Think about Him all the time. Meditate on His Word all day long. All that you do and every dream you have, hitch it to God in His glory. And that'll be the right thing to do. And then remember that only He knows your limits. He knows your limits. Only He knows your limits. You don't know what God's plan is for your life. Get out there and do what God wants you to do. And I can promise you this, whether you're a young person or a senior citizen, doesn't matter. God wants to help you. God will help you, and He wants to help you. What is success? Success is knowing God's will and doing God's will. Being saved, yielding your life to Him, and continuing to do His will. If you're saved and surrendered, and you'll obey the Lord, friend, I promise you today, I can say it without reservation, you will have great success. Let's stand.